Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
The naked man has few secrets. A flayed man none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Team.
It's on right now.
Oh, hi. I'm Hollywood Steve. You caught me relaxing in my music nook. From 1976 to 1984, the radio airwaves were dominated by really smooth music, also known as yacht rock. These yacht rockers docked a remarkable fleet of number one hits, and every song has a story behind it. Let me tell you one.
There can never be what she wants to be. She's gone. She's gone. Oh,
all right. Welcome to a Yacht Rock Wednesday morning sports chat. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz with you, live from the 237 studios. We'll get the Twitter Periscope up here in a bit. Give us a call, 706-0111, 706-0111. Looking forward to going over the Cajuns baseball. No, that didn't happen last night. How about the LSU baseball? No. Did it rain yesterday? Did we miss that?
Yes.
Where?
At my house. It rained hard. It rained hard.
Yeah, but you weren't hosting a baseball game. Did it rain in Baton Rouge?
I mean,
I don't think so.
I obviously live much closer to Alec Box than I do to the Teague, but it stormed at my house. That's all I can say.
What time was that at?
Before, like, the game time. So, like, nap time a little after that.
What's your nap time?
I usually fall asleep around 2:30, 3 o'clock-ish.
All right. All right. I don't think it rained in Baton Rouge last night.
It may not have.
Now, there's a whole deal. That's a tough commute for South Al. All right, that's 4 hours back and forth. But why the Cajuns can't go to Hammond to see if it's going to rain, I do not know. All right, I get the idea that, you know, you don't want the pitcher to warm up and then the game rained out. That's one thing. But to not show up there at, you know, 5 p.m. or 4 p.m. to take BP and go through the motions, and you get back in the bus if you think it's going to rain, and then you're only paying for a bus. Anyway, no baseball. Those games will be made up later on. But let's talk some basketball. And you guys know, LSU basketball, by the way, and you guys know I love starting rumors, perpetuating rumors. But this Trey Waters and Will Wade thing got out of hand fast. And let's be honest, you know, LSU had a hand in that by giving us the undisclosed illness on Saturday. You know, it lent credence to something's not kosher. Because after the ball game, and again, we said this yesterday, and on Monday, I guess, you know, after the ball game, they said, well, he took IVs. Well, just tell us that. Just, you know, big shock. I got it. Did you get the flu? I mean, everybody's, you know, gotten hit with something, right?
Not this season, but last flu season.
I didn't get it bad, but I got it. And they're giving the kid IVs. And then he's progressing, right? He's getting better. He's progressing. We'll see if he's progressing good enough to play last night, which he wasn't, which is what I said on Monday. Talking to Jake from State Farm, he shouldn't play on Tuesday. If you're getting IVs on Saturday, you have not recovered enough or practiced enough. And I'm not sure the practice is important, but how about running up and down the court a couple of times to play on Tuesday? And why are we rushing him back anyways? We need him for the long haul. All you're going to do, even if he's like 75, 80%, all you're going to do is get him sick again. So give him a couple of days off and have him ready for the Alabama game. And he's back at the stadium. He's back at the PMAC last night. Right? He was there. Right? I mean, this thing went out of control from suspension to quitting to concussion. And again, I don't have any reason not to believe Will Wade at this point in time. The kid was sick, got the flu. He's not around the team, so everybody else doesn't get the flu, right? We kind of have that situation here. you know, and we all talk into a microphone, and, you know, Alan Michael, the germaphobe, had his own little, what's a windscreen, if you will, because we all talk into the same thing, and, you know, if one guy gets sick, everybody gets sick. And so, you know, you don't want to be around it. And they didn't really need him, did they? I mean, A&M is bad, right? That should have been a bigger blowout than it was, to be honest with you, all right? A&M is just bad. It was like 10-5 for like 3 minutes of game time. It really, and A&M couldn't hit any. I mean, A&M could not throw it into the Gulf. They're bad. LSU got it going with the defense. And then probably, and I didn't see it, but I'm going based on the score, a little bit of a lackadaisical second half. I think it got down to 10, but I don't think it ever got down to single digits. And you know where it's going now, Cody, where it's going to go from, oh, maybe this team is better without Trey Waters. That's how these things go. And of course they're not. Of course they're not. All right? Now, if you want to go one step forward, because you can see how good Javonte Smart is, all right, and he is, you know, him and Trey Waters are two different basketball players. But if you want Javonte Smart, and I know nobody likes this in the analytics, but if he wants to take the next step, obviously he wants to improve his outside shooting. He can get to the basket basically when he wants to. But this kid can go from averaging, you know, 12 to 15 points a game to 15 to 20 points a game with a pull-up jumper. If he just adds that pull-up jumper, he will be unstoppable. You don't want him to stop going to the basket and trying to lay it in and get fouled. But are you playing off of him to stop the drive so now he can shoot the three? And then you wait for him to go all the way to the basket, and all of a sudden he pulls up for a 10-foot bank shot? I'm not saying he needs to step right inside the three-point line and shoot the 18-footer. But boy, if he can pull up from 10 feet, he would be a superstar because he would be unstoppable. Unstoppable. He'd be like Chris Jackson. Wasn't that part of Chris Jackson's game back in the day? Pull up. He'd shoot from the outside, go to the basket, and he could pull up on a dime. And Javonte Smart, let's be honest, is probably a better athlete than Chris Jackson. 706-0111, 706-0111. On a side note, Cody, you got to retweet it because I put it up because I had the pictures. Who wears more hair gel? And the way Twitter does it, you can't put the poll question on with the pictures. So I did the poll question twice. Or I did the pictures and then the poll question. I asked the question twice. Who uses more hair gel? Rams NFL Sean McVay or STM coach Danny Broussard? I mean, it's a close contest, actually. And right now, Danny Broussard getting the hometown coach getting 71%. Cougars with a 68-42 win over Thomas Jefferson. They will host David Thibodeau on Friday. All right. Meanwhile, again, LSU, almost the beneficiary of a huge upset as Kentucky had to come from behind to beat Arkansas last night. That would have been huge. That would have been huge because then all of a sudden LSU would have been in the driver's seat to have sole possession of first place in the SEC. And then Kentucky's got to go to Tennessee. You would think Tennessee should probably win that game. And then, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky are at least one game, if not two games, behind LSU. Now, this LSU basketball team, I'm telling you, this NCAA net thing doesn't change nearly as fast as it should. All right, it's just a mathematical equation. Through games of the 25th, what are they? They're 15th? I mean, how's that feasible, Cody? How'd they go down? Through the games of the 25th, they went down from 14 to 15. They did not play, and they went down. They're coming off a win against Tennessee, and they went down. I don't get it. Let's check out the RPI. And it doesn't include yesterday's ballgame, by the way. Which, if it included yesterday's ballgame, you would get it only because A&M stinks. They got a losing record. They're not really good. That's where you would understand it. But it doesn't include yesterday's ballgame. Team rankings, RPI updated. This thing gets updated quickly. Day 227, LSU is 11th. That's where they were. They didn't actually drop. They're ahead of Tennessee. Kansas, number one, which is kind of odd. They got seven losses. Duke with a loss yesterday. Virginia, 24-2. Houston, they go tonight against East Carolina. Cody, we're trying to get Corey Davis. Houston hosting game day, by the way, this weekend. Corey Davis obviously went to Lafayette High, so we're trying to get him. I went through the – you know how this is going to work, Cody? Right. First of all, we just tweeted him, which is kind of weird. You know who saw the tweet? Mama Davis. She's taking care of it, right? I said I would try to go through the SID. So she contacted Corey. Corey went to the SID. The SID is going to get in touch with me, allegedly. So we'll see if we have Corey Davis on later this week. Again, Houston is number four. We'll find out where they're seated. Where are they in the NCAA net? I mean, if you're an RPI of four, right, you should be a number one seed. See where Houston is. They are four in the net, too. And again, a controversial loss on a Corey Davis drive to the hoop, called for a charge instead of a block. I think it would have tied the game up. Of course, they have beaten LSU. So that's when you talk about good loss, that's a solid loss for LSU. That loss is not hurting them. The Florida loss is hurting them. Even though Florida's, you know, not that much. Florida's got a net of 31, to be honest with you. That's not awful. Not like seeing Francis in baseball or anything like that. So LSU with a nice ball game. Naz Reid in the first 7.5 minutes had 6 points and 3 rebounds, which was a serious improvement over what he did Saturday against Tennessee. Naz Reid overall 18 points, 11 rebounds, played some solid defense as well. Looks like he's maturing defensively, not leaping, cutting guys off, going to the basket. He got in foul trouble very early against Tennessee. He had one personal foul yesterday. Javonte Smart, 17 points. A whole starting five, actually, the only ones who scored for LSU, as it turns out. But all five of them in double figures. And Big B Williams actually missed a couple of dunks and mishandled the ball underneath a couple of times. Skylar Mays, only 2 of 8, but 7 of 8 from the free throw line. And boy, it is Marcus Taylor, right? Marlon Taylor. If this kid can figure out how to shoot the basketball, he's going to be really good. And he doesn't have to shoot it that well. Just has to shoot it a little bit well. He had 10 points. All right. And Marshall Graves was 0 for 4, but played some defense. The bench only was 0 for 8 and didn't shoot a free throw. And, again, A&M's just not very good. Not very good. All right, let's take a timeout. Let's talk about, we're going to get somebody on, I hope, from where I used to work. But did you see this, Cody, in baseball? Independent League is going to use robots for umpires. Back after this, 103.7, the game. Beef with our boy, by the way. I got a beef with our boy, Christopher Cross. Did you see Taylor Swift went to sing at one of her friend's engagements? I don't know if it is a friend, but somehow she went to go sing, and it was not contrived. Like, she had a visit to someone's house, right? Like a fan's house, an older fan's house, like a grandpa, right? But that's contrived because she's bringing the cameras. Right, this was just some phone video that went viral. And it's just the engagement. Right? They're not even.
Sounds like we need to start doing Taylor Swift Wednesdays.
That's right. That's right. That's right. We're talking married.
Right. I mean,
if Taylor Swift can make time.
Christopher Cross was
Christopher
in.
Cross can certainly make time for a wedding.
He was in town. We know
in
this.
Town.
We know this.
That's right. I got a beef with Christopher Cross. Can't come and do Arthur's theme one time on a Saturday night. You get to Nashville the next day.
Yeah, we'll just take the chorus. Just the chorus. And you can go.
Come on. Come on. From John Cena's entrance to right. Arthur's theme. Come on.
We would have nailed the night. We would have had it.
Taylor Swift's doing, you know, acoustic engagement songs. Jeez. All right. Kidding, of course. 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz live in the 237 studios. You got Craig. Craig! Craig's on the line. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, David. How's it going, man?
It's going well.
Good. I got a couple questions and comments, and I'll hang up and listen, and you can answer them. But this LSU basketball team, can you please explain to me how they beat Kentucky straight up on their home floor?
Right.
They beat Tennessee.
Right.
Now, it was at home. They beat Tennessee, but they were out without Waters, and Nas Reed scored 1 point in that game.
Crazy. Crazy.
The two teams that they're tied for first with right now.
Right.
Yet, LSU is number 13 in the nation, and Tennessee and Kentucky are in the top five. And all these ESPN guys, prognosticators, all the when talking about Final Four and all that, they all seem to – I still don't think LSU is getting credit, and I look at Tennessee and Kentucky. And I don't see this. I guess what I'm saying is, if LSU played Kentucky and Tennessee 10 times, I think LSU would win 5. I don't think there's much of a difference between any of those teams. I'm trying to understand why they always seem to be picking Kentucky and Tennessee to possibly go to the Final Four rather than LSU. I'm not understanding that. I just
I think Andy Kennedy. Didn't Andy Kennedy, I don't know if he's just doing it on, you know, because he's on Homer Radio, but he was on with Jordy yesterday. He did the ball game, and he was talking about that LSU absolutely has the talent to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, you got some guys that do it. And another thing is, I keep seeing these projections for the tournament, and they still got Kentucky at number one seed and LSU a 4.
Well, remember,
four's not a bad seed. Don't get me wrong, David. But
it's not great.
I mean, this LSU basketball team is a 4, and Kentucky's a 1. Kentucky's good. But I don't think they're that great. I mean, I really don't.
Right.
I'm not a number one seed. And my last question is, I'll hang up.
Okay.
From this LSU basketball team, what guys will not be there next year, whether it's because they're a senior this year or they might be leaving early?
Yeah.
I'll hang up and listen.
All right. A couple things. First of all, let's make sure we understand the bracketology. All right. The bracketology, they're guessing where the committee is going to have the team. So an LSU at a 15 rating in the net, that's a 4 seed. I'd really like to have them a 2 or 3 seed. All right. A 3 seed is just better because, again, you avoid that number 1 seed until the Elite Eight. You know, there's chances, and obviously it could happen to LSU, but there's always chances that someone could get knocked off. And, again, just get away from Duke. It's the only one I'm not interested in seeing. All right. Again, they can hang with Virginia. They can hang with, as we've seen, Kentucky, right? Just, you know, this is the way they play, just hanging around. They have some not so great losses. All right. And the team has improved dramatically, right? They kind of gave the game away to Florida State. They didn't bounce back, kind of like what Jerry Glasgow, we put that up. You know, the girls. Cajun softball team did not react well to losing to North Texas and didn't bounce back against Baylor. They took the loss too hard, sort of like LSU did when they gave a game away against Florida State. They did not bounce back well against Oklahoma State. The polls, though, remember the polls are kind of based on, you know, LSU maybe didn't get enough credit for beating Tennessee, but they had just lost at home to Florida. And LSU's got only 5 losses this year. What are the losses? Can we go over the losses? Off the top of my head, Cody. Florida.
Florida State.
Houston. FSU. Oklahoma State.
Yeah, OKC.
That's 4. This is just off the top of our head.
There's only one more we're missing.
Yep. Arkansas.
That stupid SEC game that makes no sense.
All right, but here's the problem, all right? with two of their loss. And if you want to know about the polls and the net, well, can answer my own question. We appreciate the call, Craig. Arkansas and Florida are at home. Those are bad losses. And Arkansas, although they did give Kentucky a run for their money, you know, it's 13-8 overall, 4-4 in conference play. No, that's, in fact, that's not true. That's what they were. They're 14-14 overall, 5-10 in conference play. That's what their record was when they beat LSU. They've lost, they've lost 6-7 since they beat LSU. So that's where the rankings come in. You know, you never jump. And then also part of the rankings is you got to be in a spot where the other teams are losing while you're winning, a la my Orange football team, who, you know, literally went up about 25 spots in 2 weeks because everybody lost in front of them. There weren't a top 10 football team or a top 15 football team, but everybody lost and they happened to win 2 weeks in a row. In terms of who's coming back, all right. I mean, I think Trey Waters is coming back. Trey Waters should come back. All right. I mean, could Trey Waters have a 10-year career in the NBA? You bet. Do I think he's a first-round pick? I don't. All right. Naz Reid will not be back. He's leaving. All right. Skylar Mays is a junior. He's probably coming back. I would presume Smart's coming back. Taylor's coming back. And Waters is coming back. I would also presume, and I got to see this in NBA circles, you know, does it Cavell, Bigby Williams, and Emmett Williams come back? They could absolutely use, you know, we're talking about Javonte Smart with a pull-up shot. These guys, for these guys to be effective, even though, you know, I mean, especially Emmett Williams, who's all 6'7", although he is, you know, can jump through the roof, he needs a jumper, right? Same with Cavell Bigby. These guys have to improve that. Naz Reid, you can't teach 6'11", 6'10", and 250. He's listed 6'10", 240, but he looks a little bit thicker than that. Darius Day should be back. Are there any? I mean, who are the seniors? Now, Cavell Bigby-Williams actually is a senior.
I was going to say, I thought he was a senior.
Cavell Bigby-Williams is a senior. All right. My bad. So he's gone. All right.
Well, I mean, he's not even a JUCO transfer. He's a transfer from another Power 5 school.
Okay. You know? All right. So he is a senior. All right. I think Naz Reid is gone. I think Trey Waters should come back. That doesn't mean he will. But it all depends on where he's projected to go. That's a good thought to think. All right. I mean, this team should be good, and they got another good recruiting class coming in. Again, pro tip, coach, don't lie to the feds. Just don't do it. Swallow the tough medicine and don't lie to the feds. All right, we'll get to that baseball thing coming up. If you do want to talk LSU, you're welcome to give us a call. 706-0111, 706-0111. Back after this on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7, The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, now Wednesday morning sports chat. Looking forward to talking a lot of baseball that had no baseball. Nope. Games postponed will be made up later. Also, we probably need a promo, Cody. No LSU baseball on TV this week, but it'll be on 103.7 The Game. In fact, it's a LSU doubleheader on Saturday, right? Basketball games at 11. And then LSU baseball later on. Let's see Chris Blair do that one, baby. Let's see Chris Blair call the Alabama game, get on a plane, and get to Austin by like the fifth inning. I want to see pull that one off.
Now, we've seen him do the golf cart trip before.
Yeah, but that's two home games.
Right.
This one's two road games.
And show him what, like the third inning?
Let's go, Oliva. Let's get that charter.
Private jet. Private jet.
From Tuscaloosa to Austin. Well, let's see. What time's that game? 11. 1:30. The earliest he's on a plane is at 2. The game doesn't start till 3. He could be there for the fifth inning. Let's go. Come on. It's not that far. I bet he's there for Sunday, though. Or we'll see where he's going. We'll see if he's actually doing the Alabama. He's probably doing it. Well, we'll see what he's doing. All right, let's go out to
What do you think he's doing tonight?
What do I think he's doing tonight? Oh, well, we'll ask him.
Yeah.
The Will Wade show or baseball?
Because Will Wade is...
Well, I got baseball. It's probably going to be rained out. is my guess. I don't know. But we'll find out. Yes. We're carrying the Will Wade Show tonight. It'll be on at 8 after Five Guys Stories and Lies. The baseball game we're not covering because, well, they're not giving it to us. That's only on locally.
Weird.
They're just, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
You would think, with that being the case, Chris Blair would be, if both events go on as planned, you'd think he would be at Will Wade, at the Will Wade Show.
That's my guess.
You would think.
That's my guess. They do it very, it's, you know, this time it makes sense because, you know, basketball is doing great. But a couple years ago, it didn't. At least they're consistent. We take care of basketball. Yeah. We take care of the sport that's going on now. That gets priority or started first.
Fair enough.
Although life is all about making the adjustments. When you've lost 15 games in a row, let's cut the baseball. All right. Anyways, let's go out to the Arco Equipment hotline. Who you got, Cody?
Bob is on the line.
Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
By the way, Bob, I got a quick. Did you vote in our poll question yet?
Which one?
Did you see our first Shut Up Dave poll question of the day?
No, not today. This morning.
Who wears more hair gel? L.A. Rams Sean McVay or STM's Danny Broussard?
Well, I've never met Sean McVay in person, but right. I have met Danny Broussard at Rock and Bowl.
Sure.
And his hair is swimming. It's swimming, man. You know, I shook his hand and I drew back and I was kind of looking at it and I said, I need a napkin. Danny doesn't need somebody on the sideline to keep him off the court, you know. So
Can I tell you the most he got upset yesterday, either at his team or the referees, whereas he was trying to sub somebody in and the referees didn't see it. That's as how upset he got.
You don't like that.
Yeah, that's about that. You know, he was not upset at all. He was instructing his team. Yeah. It was a relatively easy win. All right, what do you got?
Yeah. This new NCAA system or seeding or whatever thing that they use,
right,
you know, to determine, you know, power rankings and things. It just, I mean, let me ask you right now, because I don't know. I mean, I got to figure that Tennessee and Kentucky, they have single-digit losses, right?
Yes.
I mean, what are their records right now?
Aren't they right? Kentucky got 4 losses? Let me see. Let me get to it here. Tennessee's only got 3, right? They've lost the last two out of 3 ball games or so. They've only got 3 because they only had the 1 beforehand. Tennessee is 24-3, and Kentucky is 23-4. Yep.
Okay. Well, it just seems that this new NCAA scoring system it seems like it penalizes you more, you know, for a loss than a good win, you know. And like I sent you the message the other day, how many teams have, you know, two wins over top 5 teams? And
I think that
LSU is the only one. But, you know, I'm not saying they should be in the top 5, but definitely they should be in the
Why
top
not?
10 for sure.
Why wouldn't they be in the top 5? I mean, Carolina, let's be honest. I mean, Carolina took care of my Orange, but who's Carolina beaten? Carolina did beat Gonzaga, so that's a nice win.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Kentucky 80-72. All right. They did blow out Va Tech. That's a nice win.
Mm-hmm.
And they just lost to Virginia. You know, I'm not sure. You know, why is Carolina 5 and LSU is like 13? That's the respect thing. That is absolutely a... you know, a tradition is not the right name, but
like a
reputation.
A pedigree type.
Based on reputation. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you think LSU's being penalized because they're kind of sort of the new kid on the block right now?
A little bit, yeah. I do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. A little bit.
There's got to be, you know, there's got to be reasons for it that I don't understand. But, you know, between now and the end of the year should be exciting because, you know, you got – that would be interesting that if LSU won the SEC championship. I don't know how they're going to do it in the tournament in Nashville and see where they're seated. Now, let me ask you this.
Sure.
You were saying something about you would like to see them being a 2 or 3 seed or a 4 seed and – what are your reasons for that?
Well, the big difference between a 2 and 3 seed and a 4 seed, first of all, you don't have a 5 seed in your second round. All right, it's, you know, it's not out of the question that LSU could lose in the second round to a five seed, right? That's not crazy. Those teams are relatively close, right? But if you get the two or three seed, what that means is I'm not playing the number one seed until the Elite Eight.
So even
if you're two or three seed and you're playing each other, at least I get the two or three seed in the Sweet 16. I don't have to face a Duke, a Gonzaga, a Virginia, if that's the case, until the Elite Eight. I get to avoid that. If it's number one versus number four, then I got them in the first round of the Sweet 16, so to speak.
Okay. Well, that's why I listen to you. I always learn something.
There you go.
I appreciate it.
There you go.
All right, buddy. You take care.
I appreciate
care.
It, Bob. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. NCAA Tournament 101. Just my thought. And again, and to be honest with you, some of those, bring on Gonzaga for a little bit, right? Bring them on. Some of these teams I'm not real afraid of. I'm really not. I'd have to go back and check how these teams win. But if these teams think they're going to go up and down the court with LSU, I'm not so sure. All right? We'll see what maybe LSU against Duke is okay. We'll see if Zion Williamson is healthy by the time they play him. It's a month away. They may be all right, although I'm not sure who covers, R.J. Barrett. That's going to be a tough matchup. Skylar Mays? I'm not so sure. But if these teams are going to go up and down the court, like Virginia's going to slow it down. Virginia would rather play in the, this is Virginia's, oh my goodness. Virginia's last four ball games. They beat UNC 69-61. Cody, they beat UNC 69-61.
Yeah, I said it to myself. I thought you were, going through it, so I didn't want to interrupt. I said it to myself. Right. That's funny.
Notre Dame 60-54. Va Tech 64-58. Louisville 64-52, right? Let's see what they did beat Carolina. Carolina blew out my Orange yesterday. But you go to Carolina, the scores are a little bit different, just a little bit, right? 93-85 over Syracuse, 77-59 over FSU. They beat Duke 88-72 with Zion not in there. They beat Wake 95-57. They lost to Virginia 69-61, but they put up 88 against Miami, 113 against NC State, almost 80 against Louisville, 77 against Va Tech, 103 against Georgia Tech, 77. Va Tech, 103. All right. Carolina, you're going to have to keep up and score. Right. Last night, honestly, this has not happened very much. I didn't watch a minute of the Syracuse game. Not 1 minute. 46-43, Syracuse at half. I got the stats right. I took a picture of the photos. Let's see what the final totals were. Syracuse, the free throws were ridiculous. But Syracuse missed a bunch of free throws anyways. But Syracuse shot 53% in the first half, 18 of 34. Carolina shot 37%, and Syracuse is leading by three. I knew that wasn't going to last. Let's see what Syracuse shot for the game. Syracuse shot not all that bad, actually, 48%. So they shot about 45% in the second half. Not all that bad. Actually, one shot away from being 50, 29 to 60. But you got to keep up with Carolina. It's a different ballgame, all right? I think LSU can. It's the Missouri game that they almost lost. Like the Florida game that they did lose, right? It's shocking that they lost to Arkansas. But that Florida game was exactly the way Florida wanted it. And let's be honest, if A&M could have hit a shot last night, and had any desire, they could have maybe won that ballgame. And they were 19 of 60 from the floor. I don't think the LSU defense was that good. A&M was missing open shots, at least in the first half. I went to bed for the second half. 4-22 from three. At one point in time, they were 1 of 8 from three. These were not necessarily contested shots. And again, this is the bugaboo for LSU. And it's been the bugaboo all season long. 2 of 19 from three. I could say the same thing. You could say the same thing for LSU, right? If A&M makes a few three-pointers, they may win the ballgame. If LSU makes a few three-pointers, it's a 20-point win. But that's been a bugaboo from the get-go. It really has been. The three-point shooting for LSU doesn't give us a total. I can see it here. 191, 599. Is that less than 30%, Cody? Less than 33%, anyways. Right? 200 into 600. Yeesh. All right. Well, good chat on LSU. And I do. I think they don't have this blue blood reputation, right? Houston made a run last year. Nevada made a run last year. Tennessee had one loss forever, and they were preseason pretty good, and they're undefeated for the longest time. If LSU didn't lose to, I'll tell you right now, if LSU didn't lose to Arkansas and Florida, they'd be in the top five probably, right? They'd have this huge, long winning streak. They'd be way up there, but they've taken a step back. And that's why we asked that question, Cody, right? We did ask it. Was it more good beating Tennessee or more bad losing to Florida? Unfortunately, it looks like that net rating thing has it more bad when you lose at home to a team that you should beat. Rather, you know, that doesn't take into consideration that you didn't have Waters and Reed mostly in that ballgame. Waters didn't play and Reed had one whole point. All right, we're going to get to this baseball thing because it's going to be fascinating, and we'll see if we get my boy on tomorrow. All right, going to start using robots to umpire baseball games. What could go wrong in a rain delay when that happens? Back after this, 103.7 The Game. All right, Tony Robichaux coming up next after 7 o'clock. I was worried about the Southeastern game and didn't have to be. That got rained out, postponed. Chris Player, 7:32. Brian Bieniemy at 8. Chris Gordy, 8:17. And as we mentioned yesterday, Martin Traynor, the winner on the PGA Tour in Puerto Rico, he's going to join us 8:32. Pretty cool. So in my previous life, I was a baseball announcer, and one of the places I worked was in the Atlantic League. A little bit shady because one of the guys who owned it ran the Long Island Ducks. He owns the Ducks. And so one time, you remember Pedro Barbone Jr., Cody? Pitched for the Braves, I think.
Yeah, right? Three-time WWE champion?
Well, right.
No, I do not know.
So he pitched for the Braves. We had a guy who played for the Mariners at one point in time. It's an independent league, so we got to get our own players. He had just, Ryan Redmanovich, I think his name is, and he popped up. He had just gotten there, and it's a blow to the ego when you're playing in a league like this, when you've played affiliated baseball and you've been in the big leagues, and this guy was having a tough time with his swing, and, you know, under his breath, he sort of mouthed something to himself, and Pedro Barbone Jr. thought he was mouthing something to him. You know, you stink, you don't belong here, blah, 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 blah. And he was really talking to himself. And he did this in between the mound and the plate. And by the time Redmanovich was, you know, in foul territory, the dugout was on the third base side, Barbone unleashed a baseball behind Redmanovich. Someone had to put their hand in the dugout to prevent it from hitting somebody in the face. Well, he got like a one-game suspension, which is not really a suspension because he had pitched the day before, so he wasn't going to pitch the next day. So that's when I tell you it's a little bit shady. Also, by the way, that seems like Long Island and the Somerset Patriots, where I worked, are the only two teams that are left. There's actually a team in High Point, North Carolina. New Britain, that used to be the Red Sox for a long time, but they fell out of the Eastern League. Lancaster's been there for a while. York's been there for a while. The Sugar Land Skeeters, right? That's right outside of Houston. Southern Maryland Blue Crabs as well. So let's see here. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, ten teams, I guess. Counting 10 teams. All right. And so it's a fun league. Somerset does a really good job. All right. They draw. They start, I think, at the end of April, and they draw about 350,000, 400,000 fans. And it's in the middle of New Jersey, and you don't have to worry about traffic for Yankee baseball or Philly baseball or the Mets, right? You know, the games end somewhere around 10:30. And getting out of the parking lot takes 10, 15 minutes. And if you stay for the whole game, unless there's fireworks, it's probably less than that. So it's a good league. But now they're going to experiment with baseball rules. I mean, crazy baseball rules. They announced an agreement yesterday with Major League Baseball to act as a testing ground for experimental playing rules and equipment
during the season with a three-year agreement between the leagues that was announced yesterday. The agreement allows MLB to implement changes to Atlantic League playing rules in order to observe the effects of potential future rule changes and equipment in the majors. According to Baseball America, those changes could include moving the mound back. They're going to move the mound back. We're going away from 60 feet, 6 inches. Moving the mound back. They're also going to use a computerized data system called TrackMan, that's golf, to call balls and strikes, as well as to send in-depth data about every pitch and ball put into play in the Atlantic League. Several proposed rule changes and experimental equipment will be announced in the coming weeks, according to the statement. That's crazy. And after that, more yada, yada, yada. In the past, MLB has used the Arizona Fall League as its testing ground, but the Atlantic League offers players with more experience. More than 40% of Atlantic League players have major league service time and have spent time in the minors. Brandon Puffer, by the way, came through Somerset and ends up in the big leagues. The guy had never gotten over A-ball, spends a couple of months with the Patriots, and ends up with the Astros. A little bit more than a cup of coffee with the Astros. All right, I don't mind a pitch clock with nobody on base, move it along. And I would love to see, I don't mind the three-batter minimum, all right, in terms of, you know, you bring in a relief pitcher, you got to face three guys, all right? But moving the mound back, lowering it, raising it, I think they're, I don't know what the point is of that. I'm not sure what the point is of that. And here's the other thing about baseball, all right? As crazy as it is, it's not a national game anymore. It does not compete with football. It's as popular as it's ever been. And I'm not talking about in Miami. Milwaukee's pretty popular. Chicago's pretty popular. New York is popular. Boston is popular. Southern California is popular. Northern California is popular. It's popular in Houston. There's plenty of places where baseball is popular. It's not a national game. It's very localized and regionalized, but it's pretty popular in those areas. All right, Tony Robichaux coming up next. Stay tuned on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game. Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Genius.
It's on right now.
A whole ounce, huh? What's the occasion, Clark?
Marathon recording session with England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, you want some Bennies to keep you awake?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, throw it in.
And it's sad to belong to someone else when the right one comes along. Yes, it's sad to belong.
Good morning, Acadiana. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Let's talk some Raging Cajuns baseball with the head coach of the Raging Cajuns, Tony Robichaux. First and foremost, coach, obviously a tough weekend, but the biggest news from the weekend is that Gunnar Leger didn't pitch Friday. How's he doing? Is he expected to pitch against Maryland?
Yeah, he'll be back on track to go out this Friday against Maryland. He's back on his routine. Again, this was nothing but something that was precautionary for him. You know, if it had been a weekend where you're playing for a championship or something, I think you could have pushed him. But, you know, he had that first start, and Monday he got reevaluated, which was the plan. And the UCL, the anchor, everything's intact. Everything looked really good. So, but he did have a little bit of inflammation, which is probably normal, having sat out for so many days. But we wanted to give him an anti-inflammatory and then let him make sure that he'd be 100% for the following Friday start.
All right, so you guys are off to obviously a tough start, and we're recording this on Monday, so we don't know the outcome of the Southeastern game from Tuesday. But 1-6, four of the six losses have come in the opposition team's final at bat. How do you flip that script?
Well, you know, you flip it by being able to stay away from the three-run inning. They were able to score one run to win. because we let them do damage in the seventh or the eighth, and that's what we have to solve. Our starters have been really good. We need to keep them on track. They've been giving us every chance to win, and our hitters have been doing a good job. They did a good job this weekend in that doubleheader. We had a chance, I thought, to win the game at Tech two times. Danny hit a ball with two outs, bases loaded over the left fielder's head, just made a great catch at the wall. We, in the top of the ninth, we had runners at second and third and no outs. You got a score right there. We went up 3-2 in the ninth, but we left it 2-2. Then we opened up the door for them to get one hit. That scores the winning run. So, you know, we've been on the edge. You know, we this thing could be flipped. If we've handled the seventh inning on better, we're not sitting here with the record we are. But it's because not being able to handle the seventh, eighth, or ninth. And so that's what we have to solve right now. But our starters have done a great job. The hitters, the defense have done a great job. We're just letting the games get away from us at the end of the game.
All right, well, let's talk about the positives. A couple of guys, Hunter Castle still hitting, and Hanson Monica seemed to have a good doubleheader as well, was he? 3-for-4 in one ball game, 4 runs batted in, 3-for-5 in the other one.
No, he got going. We needed him to get going, and Cantrell swung the bat batter as the weekend went on because we need him to get going. He's such a good hitter. We knew he would, and Hanson, just a matter of time, but we really needed it, being we on the road against a good team and pitching with a lot of inexperienced arms. We've got to score as many runs as we can just because of the experience in the arms. Hopefully with the experience they can get the score down like our starters have done, but the starters all have the most experience. So you know, so it was good to get those two guys going. I thought, again, at the beginning of the year, I thought we'd eventually hit with our approach if we just stay on the approach, and I thought we'd play defense. What worried us coming in here was just we knew we had a bunch of inexperienced arms. And so that's the one thing we've got to try to solve. And there's only one way to do it is keep running them out there with thick skin until they can get some thick skin, until they can get some experience.
Do you think the weekend rotation is set? I know you're still trying to figure out who's going to pitch last night against Southeastern, but you got Gunner, Dalton, and does Austin Perrin get Sunday now?
Well, we'll see. The first two are for sure. Austin will not get it, because he can't start. He's done a great job for us, and he's a great candidate for it. We just have to figure out who's going to come in to the backside of the bullpen. And once we do that, I think that'll determine Sunday's starter.
All right, how do you get these guys? Bob Marlin went through it a couple of games that, you know, they seem to have lost confidence. How do you get these guys in? It's so early, still very early, less than 10 games in, obviously, only 2 weeks into the season. How do you get these guys not to lose their confidence moving forward?
Well, the big thing is you got to try to get it to not vacillate amongst the team. I mean, last year early, we didn't hit. So the pitchers had to pick up the slack and stay pitching, and you got to stay playing defense, and you got to try to keep the score down if you're not going to score a lot of runs, right? It doesn't take a smart person to figure that out. But
although vacillate is a really big word for early Wednesday morning.
Well, that, you know, but that can happen. You know, it can spread, and that's what you've got to watch out for, you know. You can see it in football where the offense is doing real good, but the defense isn't. So pretty soon, you know, the blame game starts, right? And so you got to be careful. That's why I think the Patriots are so good, because their motto is just, you know, shut up and do your job. And I think at the end of the day, that's all you have to do in this situation is just really shut up and do your job. Wherever the holes are, we have to be big enough not to ignore them. And, you know, like they refer to, you know, the pink elephant in the room. I mean, the bottom line is the seventh, eighth, and ninth has killed us. That's the elephant in the room. There's no reason to try to hide an elephant, right, in a room. It is what it is. And so what we have to be able to do is keep working to solve it. And one good thing is we've got some other pieces that have been really good. We've played good defense. Our starting pitching's been good. What we can't do is let the seventh, eighth, and ninth move. It's got to stay right there, and then we the ones who created this monster, we the ones who have to slay it.
All right, I know the Southeastern was Tuesday. Maryland's coming into town. You got a Big Ten team coming into the Teague. How did you go about finding them to play, and you know what kind of program that they have?
Well, they've got a good one. You know, Bab does our scheduling, does a great job. He's continuing to work to try to get good three-game series into here, because you don't get better playing, you know, anybody that's not a good baseball program. And Coach Sheff, one of my former assistant coaches here, was at Maryland. So we had worked that out, and then he went on, you know, from there. But they kept the three-game series. So that's going to be good for us and good for them. What's great about our ballpark is more and more coaches are trying to come here because they feel it's a regional-type atmosphere, and that's a credit to our fans and our facility and our program. But, you know, again, it was good to get out on the road, even though we're getting, you know, roughed up in a couple, just really one area. It was good to do it. It's good to get back on the road again tomorrow. Going to be at a tough place to play for these young arms. I mean, Southeast is not an easy place to play. They jump around the bases and they move some runners around. And again, all that can do nothing but help our guys. We try to practice that at practice, but you know, you can put a pilot in a simulator all you want and then go throw him up there in some bad weather and hope that his training is good. That's what makes these experienced surgeons. You know, they can practice on a frog all they want, but once they get into that emergency room and they're rushing that person in there and it's time to perform, you know, they need that. The more they get it, the better they get at doing what their job is. And this is the case where, you know, we got to hurry up and get these guys to grow up. We talk about it all the time in the fall. Every time a kid makes a freshman mistake, we always tell them, you know, hurry up and grow up. You know, hurry up and stop being a freshman, even though you are a freshman. I mean, you got to be able to try to play above your chronological age. And that's the difficult situation when you run into losing not only good arms like we did last year, experienced arms in the back of the pen, but you lost experienced arms as juniors too. And so when you sandwich that together, you end up with a lot of inexperience. And when you do, you're going to pay a price for that.
I'm a hashtag always the bright side. Are you considering the team is getting weathered right now?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, I mean, I've always said this before, you know, if you spar every morning with a world-class boxer, you're going to get beat on. If I'm sparring with a guy that can't box, I'm not getting beat on. So I'm literally winning every morning, but you're losing every morning getting beat on. If you don't quit, the bottom line is when me and you meet, you're technically better prepared than I am through losing because you're tougher. The tragedy to that is you hate the price for development because development can be ugly. And because we're in such a result-oriented world, everybody looks at the results. And so our results have not been good. So what we have to do is keep their eyes off of results and on the process of trying to grow them through this. And not get them to quit, because that's the problem with the select model, right, is, you know, they're guaranteed so many games a weekend. So sometimes they don't have to fight to stay playing because they just get re-bracketed. You know, after they lose two, they go in the, you know, the super bracket. And then after they lose two more, they go in the super-duper bracket. Then they lose two more and they go in the friendship bracket. And so, you know, they come back over the weekend and they were allowed to play after losing six games. That's not how this model's set up, right? We don't get off to a tough start and then get re-bracketed at the end of the year. I mean, the 64 is the 64. You either get in it or you don't get in it. There's no friendship bracket. There's no backup plan in baseball. I mean, it's 64, and that's it. But you have to get through what you have to get through if you're going to try to win a championship. And for us, we've got to solve the back end of the bullpen for us to be able to win a championship.
All right, Raging Cajuns taking on the Maryland Terps at home this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Best of luck, Coach. Thanks so much. We'll see you out at the ballpark.
Thank you, Dave.
I will have a Schultzy Soapbox blog on the bullpen. We told you what, they gave up like, was it six runs in the first 18 innings or something like that against Sam Houston, and gave up like 21 runs in the last nine innings?
And they were working on a sweep, basically, of Sam Houston until the bullpen.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah, yeah. And so we'll find out what the rest of it is, right? They gave up two runs to Texas late in the first game. Even in the game they won against Texas, it was 8-2, and then, you know, Texas made like an 8-6 ball game. So, you know, the Cajuns could very well be, you know, they could be undefeated, but they could also be winless. It's crazy how that is. You know, even that 9-2 ball game against Sam Houston, it was 3-2 into the eighth inning. 3-2, six-run spot in the eighth.
Ouch. All right, let's take a timeout. We got Chris Blair coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll reset. Brian Bieniemy at 8. Chris Gordy, 8:17. Martin Trainer, the newest winner on the PGA Tour, 8:32. All right, let's take a timeout here. Cody, back after this on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
You know it's hard. It's another tequila sunrise.
All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. We will we'll get to Chris Blair after the bottom of the hour. Let's check out the first Shut Up Dave poll question of the day. And I don't know why I didn't notice this until, well, this morning, actually. And so let's give him a little credit. STM with a victory, 68-42 over Thomas Jefferson in a ballgame that you could kind of see coming. Thomas Jefferson, be lucky if they had one guy over 6 feet. And I swear one of their starting guys, Cody, was how much do you weigh?
More than I used to, but now like 150.
Yeah, this guy had to be about 130 maybe. I mean,
when I was like 135 when I first started.
No, he may be 125.
Yikes.
His uniform did not fit at all. So they should have won, and they did. So we'll hear from Danny Broussard here in a second. That's a good idea. Who uses more hair gel? I think the hometown guy's getting the love. Rams NFL Sean McVay or head coach Danny Broussard, Coach D. Broussard from SDM Athletics. Danny Broussard, 59% getting the win. Everybody else kind of telling me to shut up, 32%. I mean, he uses half the little jar is what it looks like to me. So that's good stuff. All right, so let's hear Danny. You got Danny? Let's hear him. They use the half-court pressure to overcome a relatively slow start.
Kind of a little slow start for us, you know. I think they try to control the tempo early on, hit a couple of quick threes. But, you know, we kept our composure, and I thought we tried to speed the game up a little bit, obviously, because of our talent, more talented than them. And I thought our half-court trap was very good. I'm going to tell you, now, that wasn't easy to trap those guys because that's as much speed as we've seen all year long. Those two guards were super quick. So it took some effort from us to keep them in front of us and get some good traps and turn that into turnovers. But I thought we did a good job for the most part on our half-court trap.
Starting point guard would have been lucky if he was 5'5", Cody. I mean, he was small. S-M-all. Short. Fast, I mean, but short.
Tremont Waters considers that short.
I mean, yeah. This guy's... Tremont Waters is towering over this guy. Quick, but short.
How tall was Muggsy Bogue?
5'3", 5'4".
So, wow.
But he was like stocky, right?
I mean, I'll be honest. All I know about Muggsy Bogue is Space Jam and some cool dunk highlights and things you see of this really little guy like jumping and putting his forehead at the rim.
5'3".
That is impressive.
But it was, you know, a little brick wall, if you will.
Right, Baby Shaq. Right.
Well, really Baby Shaq. But, you know, brick wall, kind of, you know, stocky. This guy. This guy's cat-like quickness. Right? I mean,
he's like if Kevin Durant was 5'5".
He'd be lucky if he was 5'4", 125 pounds. Whereas the other guy is like, you know, maybe 6 foot. Lucky if he was 135 pounds.
What's crazy is if this kid, this point guard you're talking about, that small, is not a freshman.
Right.
I mean, it was possible for him to have to come up against Naz Reid just last year.
Yeah,
like that's just
well, not really. Nas is from Jersey.
Well, I just why I said it was possible, but yeah,
not really,
not in the same state. No. But I mean, you don't know. Maybe they play AAU ball. Maybe they came across each other. But I'm just saying, there are guys that are 6'10".
Just stop, swing and a miss.
So you're telling me there aren't guys that are 6'10", 240 that come up against guys that are 5'5"?
Not Louisiana.
I mean, but it could happen. Is my point.
But you specifically said Naz Reid. Just swing and miss. If it was Robert Williams who grew 3 inches, all right.
I mean, I was just trying to make a point, but.
Bad point.
I think it's a valid point, maybe a bad example.
Swing and miss. Okay. Oh, good point. I'll give you that. Good point. Oh, did you turn my mic off?
No, Dave, I didn't turn your mic off.
Valid point, bad example. You know, he could be going up against Javonte Smart last year. That's a good example.
Right, but I was trying to just say that Javonte Smart's not 6'10", 250.
No, but Javonte Smart's 6'4", and that's probably a foot taller than this guy.
At least, yeah.
Right. No. All right, let's hear what they had 12 guys, and Danny went deep in the bench. I mean, 68-42 maybe not sound all that impressive because they could have scored 100, but I don't think Carter Domain played. Be shocked if Carter Domain played 25 minutes. And I got a comment on that. Is it it's 8 minute quarters, right, Cody? High school basketball is here 8 minute quarters?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. My little cousin plays 4 10-minute quarters. They have a running clock, though.
I guess you have to get a stopwatch to figure that one out.
They just play the clock. They just have the clock. And the
only even time during free throws?
Free throws. The only time they stop it is timeouts. That's it. Nonetheless, so I bet you Carter Domain. I'd be shocked if Carter Domain played 20 minutes out of the 32. So they went deep into the bench. Deep into the bench for STM yesterday. They had 12 guys score. That shows you their versatility, Cody. And he previews the David Thibodeau game coming up on Friday.
You know, Dave, that's been our secret all year long. We have a good bench. And you know, I don't know what he played, but maybe 7 against our 12. So I think, you know, we kind of wore him out a little bit. But we've had good contributions all year long from our bench time. And, you know, that's what it's going to take, I think, to get us to that top 28. I tell you, we're going to have a war on our hands on Friday night. I went to see David Thibodeau last night. That's a very athletic team. I tell you what creates problems for us is their size. They got 3 nice-sized kids inside, and we just don't have that kind of size. So it's going to be, you know, we're going to have to do a good job of containing those 3 inside men. And then the thing is, their guards can hit shots too. So it's going to be an interesting contest on Friday.
All right, that will be on KVOL, the Rewind, 97.7 The Rewind. Game has been moved up to 6 o'clock, so 5:45 pregame show. Danny Jones with the call. All right, so that'll be on Friday, 6 o'clock, over on 97.7 The Rewind. A little bit of technical difficulties yesterday, but that got all cleared up, I think, before the end of the first quarter. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111 if you want to talk LSU basketball. That's mainly the topic on the table. Chris Blair was coming up after the bottom of the hour. Let's do a Shut Up Dave poll question, Cody. Based on the MLB and Atlantic League agreement, do you like the idea of testing out new baseball rules? And that's kind of a generic one. But I don't like I don't need the mound moving back. I don't need the mound moving up. I don't need it lowered. I don't need it made higher. I don't need to move it back. I certainly don't need to move it up. A game clock, which I would be totally against back in my, you know, youth, while there's nobody on base, and very rarely does it take 20 seconds to throw the pitch. All right? Very rarely. But it's nice to be there. You can't do it while somebody's on base. It's not going to work out. All right? You can't limit the amount of throws over to first base. Because what you would be getting is a lot of guys stepping off the rubber and faking throws. Well, you're only limited 3 throws. Well, now I'm just going to leave. Now I'm just going to take off after your 3rd throw. But you got to pick up the pace. And you got to adjust, right? Baseball adjusted. Strategy adjusted to the game, right? Lefty versus lefty, righty versus righty. And we're going to go back and forth. There's a reason why you want lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty in the lineup. And you don't want 2 or 3 straight lefties or 2 or 3 straight righties in the lineup. And so managers made the adjustment to the lineups. Now baseball's got to make an adjustment to the strategy. I don't know how you're going to do calls and balls and strikes with the TrackMan. That's going to be interesting. All right, and I presume that's the same technology as golf, right? TrackMan gives you the spin rate, what the carry rate was, you know, how far your ball went. And if you're using the word TrackMan, sounds like that's the same technology. So we'll see. So that's a good Shut Up Dave poll question. And we'll see. I have not heard back from my former general manager, Patrick McVary, who, by the way, Cody, you said about like a 6-year-old whining. He still owes me a watch from the 2003 Atlantic League Championship Series. I guarantee you the watch would either be lost or broken by now, but I want my watch.
Now, that's different, though. There's a little sentimental value to that.
A little bit.
I'll say.
I probably wouldn't be working, and I probably would have lost it, but I want the watch.
No, yeah.
So we'll get that in. We'll get that in tomorrow.
Because that's also going to be, so to speak, a one of a set type.
A little
thing.
Bit of a kind. Not right? A win, goes with the rings.
Right. Right?
I got two rings. I want the watch. I ain't getting the watch. We'll be back after this. Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, on 103.7 The Game. All right, Brian Bienemy at 8. Chris Gordy, 8:17. Martin Trainer, the newest winner on the PGA Tour, the Puerto Rico Open, joins us 8:32. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline and talk a little LSU basketball, shall we? It is the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Doing great.
I'm one of those guys that loves to perpetuate rumors, start them and everything like that. But this Trey Waters and Will Wade thing got out of control fast. I don't have any other reason to believe what Will Wade said, especially because he said he was getting IVs. It's crazy on how this got out of control as fast as it did. And he was at the game last night.
Yeah. Actually, he was at shoot-around yesterday. And, you know, again, it was clear to us he would not be playing in last night's game. But, you know, he was there, you know, moving a little bit, shooting a little bit, but clearly not going to be ready to go. And, again, was in the building last night and was there in the huddle, you know, cheering his teammates on. And, you know, I don't know where it comes from either. I think that's just part of the world we live in now, where, you know, nobody takes anybody at face value or for their word, for that matter, which is a tad bit sad. But, you know, whatever the case may be, I can tell you this, doesn't really affect LSU what everybody thinks. They know what's happened, and, you know, they got a big win last night. And, again, now with three games remaining, they've got everything still in their grasp.
Right. I was a big believer that he shouldn't have played last night. If you're getting IV on Saturday or Friday night, how quickly can you be ready to go on Monday? How much have you practiced? He's just going to get sick again. I didn't have any problem. And this is Monday before I knew anything about Tuesday or how much he was progressing, what Will Wade said at his press conference. I thought it was a good idea just to sit him out, get him ready for Alabama. He'd be 100% by today or Thursday, and he can practice a couple of days before they play the Tide.
You know what? That is you're right on the money. I mean, that's kind of the feeling we all have, which is, you know, you had your guy step up in a big way without him on Saturday. And if he's not 100%, if he's not been able to truly be able to plan and prepare like you would typically do for these very important games down the stretch, why rush him back? Because you certainly, if you can get him back to 100%, you're going to need him against Alabama. You're certainly going to need him next week against Florida. You're going to need him the rest of the year. And that's kind of what Will Wade's kind of alluded to. That, you know, we want to make sure he is 100%. We want to make sure he's feeling good. Because they're going to need him. I mean, if nothing else, as I pointed out to someone yesterday, yeah, he's one of the top scorers. Yeah, he's one of the facilitators and assist leaders. But he also gives LSU some depth.
Sure.
You know, they're running out of when you look at personnel. So
that's right.
Nah, it's much ado about nothing. I look for Trey to be in the lineup Saturday, and looking forward to him getting back and doing what he was doing earlier.
Yeah, I hadn't seen, you probably know this, I hadn't seen Marshall Graves play it this year until all of a sudden he'd come off the bench. And I mean, he only hit a 25-footer against Tennessee in the first half and played some good defense yesterday. Let's talk, I was going to go somewhere, basketball. Oh, I'll ask you, because I'm being asked. And, you know, again, these polls are, you know, it's based on who wins when. And, you know, like my Orange, you know, in football moved up like 30 spots in the polls because like top 25 teams lost over a two-week period. They weren't nearly as good as they were ranked. And yet, you know, LSU's got this really good record, and they've beaten Tennessee, and they've beaten Kentucky, but they can't seem to crack the top 10. I happen to think it's reputation compared to some of the other teams in the top 10. Why do you think they're not getting the respect nationally that they deserve?
Well, you know, I think some of that is true. I think there's still a lot of people sitting on the fence going, yeah, they got two really big wins. And frankly, there's a lot of the national media that just doesn't pay attention to anybody but, you know, the blue bloods of college basketball. But I think some of that, to what you're saying, is probably true. But I got to be honest with you, Dave, I kind of like it. I mean, I know everybody wants to be in the top 10, but, you know, that has really no bearing on where they're going to be seated in the NCAA tournament. It's got no bearing on whether or not they win the SEC. And to be honest with you, I just assume the national media, you know, continue to not really tout LSU. I mean, it gives you a little advantage to be the hunter, not the hunted, going into the postseason. But, you know, again, just win games. It's the last thing that LSU is worried about internally inside that locker room is where they are ranked. You know, they're just fighting to get this SEC crown, which, by the way, I got to wonder if there's a national outrage this morning. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I got to believe all these national pundits like Seth Greenberg and Jay Williams and the rest of these guys, they got to just be outraged that Kentucky got such a huge break last night. I mean, Arkansas absolutely got ripped, and I hope the world is screaming about it this morning.
I got to see it. You're telling me about some officiating or just overall, or was there one particular call?
Oh, into the game. I mean, into the game should have been Arkansas's ball.
Oh,
I mean, Kentucky got the home cooking, which I can't believe people aren't outraged.
No, right. Now, Kentucky getting home cooking, I can't imagine. It's nothing new there. Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers. What's your itinerary this week? Do we have NetJets ready to go from Austin to Tuscaloosa back to Austin?
No, I'm not going to miss. I'm not going to take the risk of missing anything with LSU basketball. That's
okay.
The team I started with. That's the team I'm finishing
right,
with,
right.
And we're in a conference title race. So we'll be sending Doug Thompson and Buzzy Hydell, two former Tiger champions. They're going to hold things down over in Austin this week.
All right, very good. And what are you doing tonight?
I'll be doing the coaches show.
You'll be doing the coaches.
We'll wait. We got to talk about last night's win. We got to talk about the matchup against Alabama.
Right. We'll have that here, right here on 103.7 The Game. All right. It is amazing, LSU. You know, we got the Cajuns over here. They're 1-6. They got all kinds of troubles baseball-wise. LSU is 7-0. I'll repeat that, 7-0. And yet, it doesn't seem to be good enough for some people. I don't know what they want in baseball. Baseball is not basketball, and it's not football where, you know, the physically gifted should be able to overrun the less talented. That's not how baseball generally works. But I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where the issue is. They've given up some stolen bases. The bullpen hasn't thrown strikes. I mean, you know, isn't the shortstop hitting like 500? Duplantis is on pace for like 80 RBIs. What do LSU fans want?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, you look at it, if you start out 0-7, people, you know, think the world's falling. When you start out 7-0, it's still easy for people to nitpick on what you haven't done well.
Right.
I mean, obviously there's room for improvement, and I don't think anybody's backed away from that. I think Coach Maneri's been very clear that, you know, the bullpen's got to be a lot more consistent if they hope to win the big-time series, not only this weekend, but certainly when the SEC comes around with all the teams that are ranked in the top 25. You know, I think offensively they've been able to get away with some of their, you know, miscues either in the field when it comes to throwing runners out, stealing bases, and obviously some of the pitching inconsistency. But, you know, again, I mean, we're 7 games into the season, so I just think it's a lot of people that are just really kind of foreshadowing what they feel is going to happen in a couple of weeks.
Right.
But, you know, a couple of weeks will be here in a couple of weeks. Right now, you know, you've got Southern to worry about tonight at home, and then you got a matchup against Texas this weekend. Now, I'm one of those that feel like the matchup this weekend kind of shows you where you are, because, I mean, these guys are, you know, as I've always said, alpha competitors, so they know what they're going into against Texas.
Right.
It's not going to impact what's going to happen this season, regardless of the outcome of the series, but I do think it kind of tells you where they are and in that type of matchup. So I'm interested to see how they handle things over in Austin.
I'll have to go back and watch it, although I won't. But the one thing I did notice when Landon Marceau pitched in his opening outing was 3 stolen bases. And I don't know how many was taken off in this past week, or Jaden Hill or anything along those lines. But couldn't it be just Alan Dunn saying, hey, guys, let's just worry about the guys at the plate. You know, you're pitching for the first time in college. Let's just throw strikes, concentrate on the batter. You know, offensively, we should be able to take care of the teams we're playing. You just worry about that. We'll worry about the stolen bases. That'll be, you know, next month. We'll worry about holding guys on later. Couldn't he just be saying, just concentrate on the batter? And, you know, Jaden Hill and Landon Marceau, 3 out of 4 starts have been very, very good.
I mean, there's something probably to that. I mean, I know that, you know, there's been a couple of stolen bases with the throwdown. Has been off the mark, even with a pitch that's, you know, kind of ideal for a catcher to have a chance to throw somebody else. I know they want to improve on that, but, you know, I also got to give kudos to Brock Mathis behind the plate at the way that he's been able to catch, block balls up at the plate, and, you know, build confidence for his pitching staff. I mean, you got to remember, this was not the expected starting catcher, and I think he's done a tremendous job. And, you know, I think there's part of that with Landon Marceau being a freshman, Jaden Hill being a freshman, Eric Walker trying to work his way back after missing all of last year, that I could see them saying, hey, guys, we want you to have confidence in Brock Mathis to be able to handle the pitches, whether it's a hard curve whether you do have a miscue, you know, throwing to the plate, whatever that case may be, we need to make sure you have full faith in your catcher not to be able to give up a pass ball or be able to stop a wild pitch. So maybe something to that. But, you know, I know Coach Paul Maneri. I mean, this is his whole tenure, everywhere he's been, has been about defense and pitching. It just so happens this year he's probably got as much power as they've had in the last two to three seasons.
Right.
And he's going to want to improve that. And they're going to improve that. And, again, we're seven games into the season. It's really easy with a limited amount of data to say, oh, no, the wheels are coming off defensively or against stolen bases. I think it's just a little too early to jump to that conclusion.
All right, Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, the Will Wade Show tonight right here on 103.7 The Game. And then, again, a Longhorn Network, not very widespread here in South Louisiana. So you can listen to all the Longhorn games against LSU right here on 103.7 The Game. We got a double dip on Saturday. You got the basketball game first, another early ball game, and then baseball basically right after that. I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Chris Blair. All right. So we didn't ask him if he's doing Friday's game. No, he's not. He's in Austin. That's kind of tough.
Yeah, he kind of made it sound like...
He kind of alluded to it, yeah.
He made it sound like at any point for the rest of basketball season, any sort of conflict, coaches show, or game, he's going to do basketball.
Well, it's one thing going from Baton Rouge to Atlanta and having a mid-afternoon basketball game, right? He got up and took a 5:30 flight, I guess, landed in Atlanta, I don't know, about 9, got an hour and a half drive, no big deal, right? But you do a Friday night game in Austin, the broadcast starts at 10:30 on Saturday.
Right, an 11 a.m. tip, yeah.
Good luck getting there,
oof,
right? To Tuscaloosa. You're flying into Birmingham for that, right? Driving from there?
Yeah, I drove through Tuscaloosa on my...
Actually, oh, did you? Stopped and got ahead, didn't you?
Oh, I did not, no. But I did go see a movie.
Did you hold your breath all the way through it?
I went go see a movie in Tuscaloosa. Kayla wanted to go see... On the way home, she wanted to go see a movie. She wanted to see that new How to Train Your Dragon movie that came out.
All right.
So I took her to go see that, and the closest theater was in Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
So we went, and I had my LSU hat on.
I've never heard of seeing a movie on a road trip, but that's neat.
Well,
okay.
We were trying to find also... On the way home, we stopped and stayed in a hotel. We didn't make the trip home in one day. We made the trip up there in one day.
How long is that?
With stopping, it was like 12 and a half hours.
Okay.
But on the way
because no one's in a hurry to get home.
Exactly, exactly. So on the way home, we did stop and in Alabama, and so we went to Tuscaloosa to the theater to see the movie, and I wore my LSU hat.
I'm sure you did.
And I felt, I don't know, I kept peeking over my shoulder. I was like, but Clint told me, he's like, as long as it's not, you know, game week, he's like, you're probably fine. I was like, I don't know, it's still
basketball season.
Right, in Alabama, LSU, this year, they can't really
compete.
Was it
on a Friday night, too? Did you go on a Friday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night, okay. Was it crowded?
It was full. I don't want to say crowded,
but
full.
Well, it should be.
School's back.
But it's Saturday night.
We went to an early-ish movie, so you could have, in theory,
gone
to...
Matinee.
Well, no, it was like a 6:30 start. So you could have gone to a movie, then gone
got dinner
food.
Too?
We did dinner before.
All right. Waffle House?
What did we do? No, some restaurant that was in Tuscaloosa. Dang it, now I can't
remember. Any good?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
Apparently local. You know, the Chili's or an Applebee's?
No, that's what we tried to do the whole trip, trying to find places like
all
that.
All right.
There's a steakhouse in Tennessee called the Alamo.
Oh, yeah?
The building looks like the Alamo. It's kind of funny.
Oh, all right.
Really good.
Oh, nice. All right. All right, we put a bow on hour number two. Brian Bandamy and Chris Gordy and Martin Trader. In hour number three, Martin, the latest winner on the PGA Tour in Puerto Rico, which Percy saw. We got him right here on 103.7 The Game. Back after this. Sarah. All right, so we're talking about changing the rules. Shut up, Dave Polk question. 50% like the idea that MLB and the Atlantic League have an agreement to test out new rules, experimenting with new rules. 50% say yes, 33% say no, 17% shut up. At Dave, 103.7 The Game, at 103.7 The Game. Who uses more hair gel, Rams, Sean McVay, or Danny Broussard? 56% say Danny Broussard. I think they're voting for the hometown guy. You want to see who else is changing the rules, Cody? Did you see this one?
My goodness gracious. Let's see if we get the tweet in replies. Some place in North Carolina. Let's see if I can find it because I did it. All right, NBC. Here you go. NBC Charlotte, WCNC reporting. The new bill under consideration would adjust the current grading scale, making a score of 85 an A and score a 70 a B. Cody, I would be a straight A student if that was the case. Why are they doing this to me now?
I couldn't catch that break.
Why didn't I think of that? You know who's ever writing this as a kid who's got an 85.
In the right, or they're sitting at like an 84.7 average in everything.
I think I ended up with like an 83 average in high school.
It's going to get to the point where as long as you get
through, very well in high school.
As long as you get through the school day without crying, they'll pass you. Well, not you, but that's the point we're heading to now. Oh, you made it. You made it through the day. You got on the bus without crying. You passed.
I started out college poorly.
Yeah, me too, Dave.
Poorly. But then ended up on the president's list twice. 3.6.
Which one's
not the, once, but twice.
There's the president's list and the dean's list.
Dean's list is like 3.3?
Whichever the second one is. By
right.
My college career started very poorly.
Poorly.
But by the end, I had like three straight, the second, the lower of the two, not the high, highest.
3.3. I mean, it could depend on the school, right? But I got two 3.6s. Can you imagine I got four A's and a C, not in astrology, but astronomy. It's all math.
Right. See, that was me in high school.
I had a good that one. A lot of times I could blame the teacher. Like I had an awful art history teacher. Mm-hmm. I had one good art history teacher and one bad one. And the good one, I think I got an A in.
Right.
The bad one, I probably got a C in. But I had a good astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy. It's close, but it's all math. And I didn't do well.
You see, in elementary school, I was, you know, all A's or S's, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
With
yes,
all
junior high hitting it.
Right. With all C's in conduct.
Right.
And then in junior high, I was an AB student. And then in high school, it would happen a lot, what you said, how your college was. I'd have like all A's and then a C. Or like all A's and like two, and then a B and a C. And then it was a struggle. And then college, I thought I was the smartest guy in the world. It didn't matter.
The North Carolina General Assembly is considering a bill that would adjust the grading scale to use grade state public schools. House Bill 145 promoting a 15-point grading scale passed its first reading in the House on Monday and has been referred to the Committee on Education K-12. This is what the grading scale would be. You got to be kidding me. A is 85 to 100.
That's a big, it's a nice range. I like that.
70 to 84 would be a B.
Right.
55 to 69.
Nice.
Would be a C. Anything below 55 is a D. F.
You can get half
you can
of
get
the test 40, wrong.
You can get less than half wrong and be a D student. 40% is a D. Anything less than 40 is an F.
Strive for greatness, North Carolina. Strive for greatness.
Come on. You know, I'd say I would have gotten into Harvard with these grades, but so would everybody else.
Right. Now Harvard's no big deal.
Right. I've always wondered, like in Florida, my cousins would get like 4.5s. How do you get a 4.5?
And things that threw me off, you're from New York State, so you might know better than. But like Alabama and other states, they have like 6A high schools and things like that. See, I don't know about it. I didn't know, but like
you mean the size of the high schools, or
right?
You,
oh. Like
that's all that
John, McElroy,
right?
From Oklahoma,
right.
I mean Alabama,
right?
He went to that Hoover. Was it Friday Night Lights or whatever it was?
Right.
That's a 6A.
That's all depending on how each state sizes their school.
Right, but here we don't get.
But we got like in where I'm from, it's like A, B, C, and D.
Okay.
I don't even think there's like 2 or 3A.
And see, once we get to 5A here,
right.
I'm pretty almost positive that it doesn't
see,
matter.
See, here is, there was actually B and C in basketball. We asked hair gel coach Danny Broussard about that.
B
but
schools,
it's all A.
Right, B schools
1A through 5A.
Have no football.
Right.
That's why Falls River, where Kaylee graduated from, they were a B school size, but played in A and single A because they wanted a football team.
I would not have had anything less than a B. 70 through 100. You got to be kidding me. Where was the love 30 years ago?
Time travel.
back after this. Brian Bannamy. We'll talk Pelicans, maybe a little Saints. They're changing rules. They just don't like the Saints. They just don't like the Saints at all in New York. Back after this, 103.7 The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super genius.
It's on right now.
Oh, Douglas, your fantasy is finally coming true. We're going to meet with a boy band.
Very funny. Not even close. No, no, no. No, the puerile sounds of boy bands are poison to my ears. And the only antidote is Steely Dan.
Ah, you like yacht rock.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
Thanks to past the knowledge I can understand. Are you reeling in the years? Slower away the time.
All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Wednesday morning, Yacht Rock Sports Chat. We are efforting Corey Davis, by the way, from Lafayette, plays for Houston. We need to start getting some spring training reports as well. I don't know if people saw it. Blake Trahan off to a good start. 2-for-4 in one game, 1-for-3 in another ball game. Didn't play yesterday. Yeah. We got Chris Gordy, 817. Martin Trader, the newest winner on the PGA Tour, 832. Let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and talk to our buddy from 100.3 New Orleans. It is Brian Bannamy. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Did you hear about these grade changes that they want to adjust in North Carolina?
I did not.
So an A would be 100 to 85, and a B would be 84 to 70. Dude, I would have been a straight A student.
Okay, so now we're lowering the bar. Okay, makes sense.
Yes,
to me, I guess.
Yes, because you know the guy who's sponsoring the bill has a kid that just can't get an A.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. It's like being a C student in a room full of F students. You're really not doing much if you have to do the bare minimum in order to feel good.
I remember anything below 65 was failing. Now they're moving that all the way to 40. You can get a 40 and not fail.
The service industry always needs people.
Yeah, I guess so. What is the hate that the NFL has for the Saints all of a sudden? Right now they're barring... Which I thought was a little bit odd. I even mocked it when guys who weren't actually on the defense weren't on the field defensively. And, you know, Lattimore comes up with an interception and he runs into the end zone and all of a sudden guys are coming off the bench and doing it. But now they're going to, you know, it is what it is. But now the NFL is going to penalize teams for that or abandoning the celebration? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's the NFL being typical NFL. And, of course, you know, the Saints have always been pretty much the trendsetters when it comes to new rules getting made. When Jimmy Graham decided he was going to dunk on goalposts, yeah, after he dunked on the Falcons, did it kind of ruin the goalposts for a second? That went away. Brandon Cooks also, with his celebration, the bow and arrow celebration, that was also outlawed. So it just seems as if when the Saints start to have a little fun, the NFL steps in and reminds them, hey, you are also the team that we penalize for bounty investigations.
Yeah, that's something. Something's not right there with what they're going after with the Saints. All right, this Pelicans thing keeps on getting more odd and more odd. Anthony Davis plays all of 7 minutes in the second half. They obviously play better with him not on the floor. Instead of trying to get him involved, and he was actually having a good ball game the other night against the Sixers, right? 18-6 in like 21 minutes. You know,
yeah.
He plays as normal. He's going to get 25-14 or something like that. Why do you think the team does play harder when he's not on the floor?
Well, it's real simple. You told us we stink, so there's no way possible, you know, we're going to get you on the floor and still play with the same, I guess, aggression, passion, the brotherhood. I don't think any of that is there now because he basically said, I can play with anybody else and win except you guys. But I think it's also a situation to where when the guys kind of found out this information, like, okay, we'll play hard, but we'll go out there and part of it tells me Anthony's not going to play as hard because he does have to protect himself to be traded. And another part tells me that the guys that he's playing with, they really don't know how to integrate Anthony back into the team because he does want out. So it's like, okay, is he really going to die for that loose ball? Is he really going to go up for that rebound when we really need it? I think it's just a matter of questioning how Anthony fits in now because he said he wants out. That's really the problem, and that's what I think the guys are kind of used to, or at least in their own minds, trying to eliminate him from even being a part of the team on the court.
Do you think the way things are going that it's going to end up that Lakers deal was the best they could get, or are more teams going to be into the mix compared to just the Knicks, I guess, maybe the Lakers and the Celtics? I'm presuming that because LeBron, the Lakers are still going to be in there, although I'm still trying to figure out why the Lakers would trade away everything, including draft picks, when he's coming there anyways, apparently. The Celtics picks may not be quite as good as they once were, and we'll see if they're willing to give up Tatum. You think anybody else is going to jump in the mix here?
I do. I think the Milwaukee Bucks could possibly be an outside team that kind of looks to add Anthony Davis. He's from the Chicago area. Milwaukee would be a lot closer for him to be home. So I do think Milwaukee has an outside chance. Of course, we all know the Knicks are going to be in play as well. And it would not shock me to see the Los Angeles Clippers trying to find some kind of way to get involved in this, because they also are going to have some cap space. And it is L.A., which is the destination Anthony Davis wants to play for now. Whether that be, you know, the L.A. Lakers or the L.A. Clippers, who are going to be moving into their own building. Not really known just yet, but I think the Clippers have an outside chance of trying to finagle a way to get into this as well.
Talking to Brian Bannerman, 100.3 in New Orleans. All right, what is going on with the Lakers? I mean, I'm a big LeBron James fan, but he can't be out. And again, let's be honest, midnight is not late to these guys, okay? It's just not, even if you have a shooter on the next day. But he's out doing, you know, rap music and drinking wine when he's and you know, producing this stuff with 2 Chainz, and he's saying that his teammates aren't focused. That doesn't seem to come out right, does it?
No, not at all. It's a contradiction. But I think, you know, the only thing LeBron has going for him is he is a multiple-time champion. He is considered the best player in the world. And LeBron is doing this at the later stages of his career, not early, when most of these young guys, you know, when he says sell for social media, well, LeBron has pretty much made his mark, so he can kind of be on social media. When he says, you know, concentrate solely on basketball, well, we're talking about at this point in his career, LeBron has done everything except, you know, I guess make himself into a mogul. So I think he kind of has the cachet that he can get away with it, but the young guys can't. It still looks hypocritical. And if you pay attention to the landscape of the NBA right now, there are 3 teams in shambles, and they all seem to be focused around the same person, which is LeBron James. The Celtics have problems because, you know, it's a Kyrie thing. Is he going to go rejoin LeBron James? But the Celtics have their problems that kind of tie into him. The Pelicans have their problems, which also tie into LeBron James, considering that he kind of openly suggested that Anthony Davis can be cool to play with him. And things kind of went downhill from there. And then, of course, the Lakers, and you have these young guys consistently get criticized by LeBron James. I think they're kind of looking at him like, dude, we're not here to help your legacy. We're here to build our own. So I think a little bit of that is going on, and it would not shock me to see LeBron miss the playoffs for the first time in forever.
Never missing the playoffs, right? Or maybe their first year? Is that it? Just his first year?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the first year, and that's 13 straight.
13 straight, and he's been in the championship series all this time as well. Do you think his focus is elsewhere, that he's winding down? He sees, I'm just not going to get into the playoffs right there, because if they get into the playoffs, who are they going to have to play? The Warriors?
Yeah, I don't think his focus is winding down. I think he does the typical LeBron thing. I can't win with these guys, so basically I'm not going to give them all. We've seen LeBron put on his team before. This isn't a new thing. LeBron only wants to come out and play when he feels like he has the assets to, you know, the assets or the weapons to compete. And he understands that Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Andrew Lonzo Ball, and whomever else he may have assembled on that team, that's not enough for him to get to his ultimate goal. He can say he thought it would be difficult. No, I think LeBron found the difficulty in actually being able to get rid of these guys, because I think he overvalued what they are on the trade market.
All right. Who do you think is going to come out of the East now?
And I'll tell you what, that's an even tougher one, because I haven't seen Milwaukee do it. Toronto always seems to get there and then fall apart at the last minute, so you would think it would be Boston by default, but there's a bit of a thing going on to where I think the young guys on the Boston, the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, you know, even a Terry Rozier, I think those guys truly believe they don't need Kyrie to win, and his style of basketball with Brad Stevens doesn't really mesh very well. He's more of an ISO player. Those Brad Stevens wants to play that Golden State style, share the ball, and that's not what Kyrie does. But I think those guys kind of think that maybe, just maybe, we're a little bit better off without him. So until further notice, I'm going to actually say Milwaukee, because I just think that they have the least amount of problems, and they have the best player in the East right now, outside of Kawhi Leonard, and I just don't trust Toronto.
Where do you think the
Pelicans are going to be when they come draft. I'd love them to get in that sixth spot because I still think they'd have a chance to win the lottery, although I fully believe that the Knicks are going to win the lottery because it's a conspiracy and the Knicks need to have Zion Williamson for the league to prosper a little bit because everybody would, you know, see what the waste it would be if Zion came to New Orleans. But somehow if they get R.J. Barrett, I'd be very happy with that.
Same here. I think that the Pelicans have to end up in to win the top six. The problem is that I don't think guys like Jrue Holiday, Julius Randle, and the rest of the crew are going to try tanking. I know Anthony Davis is going to be on that minutes restriction, so I don't think he's going to play in L.A. again this time around. But I do think that the guys on the court, they're going to play hard and they're going to try to win, which actually bodes well for them last time when they landed Anthony Davis. So we'll see what happens. But if they can get a top six lottery spot, I think they'll be just fine, especially if you do make a trade with a team like the Boston Celtics, which will also get you more picks in that lottery. I think they could be in pretty good shape to rebuild quickly and even rebuild slightly around Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, I don't know if it's I don't think Julius Randle and Holiday are trying to tank per se. That's not how it happens. It's everybody else. But as Cody tells me, the wrestling term is they went into business for themselves, right? All of a sudden, Anthony Davis isn't playing against, which team was that? Oh, that's right. He's sitting against the Lakers. Although the league has mandated that he plays, he just happens to pick the Lakers that he's going to sit against. And the rest of the team went into business for themselves. They didn't get the memo that they're supposed to lose. So it's about the guys that they are playing. Although, you know, check Diallo. I mean, had a career game, right? He had like 18 points in 19 minutes or 19 points in 18 minutes. It was ridiculous. So it's just a matter of that. It's the lack of talent that they got, but it has not been a lack of effort.
Not at all. And I think that's where Anthony Davis comes in again. It kind of throws everything off because these guys, definitely the stats will show that they play better without him on the court. And they're playing hard. They're picking the leadership role from Jrue Holiday, which he's actually stepping up and being the leader we all thought Anthony Davis should be. You know, he's not really a vocal guy, but he's definitely the guy that gives his all on the court. And for my money, Jrue Holiday is the top three shooting guard in his position when he goes both ways as far as offensively and defensively. He's definitely stepped up. And I think the guys are taking the leadership role from him now. You kind of he's kind of been the face of the franchise since Anthony Davis took that step back.
All right, Brian Bannamy is a great follow on the Twitterverse, public_B_enemy. It changes.
That is correct.
It changes on a somewhat regular basis. I appreciate it, my friend.
Again, take care, Dave.
Are you all ready for Mardi Gras? You got big plans for Mardi Gras?
I usually avoid the Mardi Gras. I don't too much partake. If I do, I probably will do something this weekend. But other than that, I don't partake in the Mardi Gras. That's my vacation time, and I try to get away from the city.
Oh, there you go.
Everybody else can enjoy it.
Yeah, I understand that. A lot of people do that down there. All right, I appreciate it, Brian. Thanks.
Take care, Dave. You got it.
All right. I'm Brian Bannamy, 100.3 in New Orleans. All right, let's take a break. Usually it comes on at 8:30, but we got the golfer coming on. Let's see if Chris Gordy will join us. How about Nolan Arenado? Did you see that coming? 8-year, $260 million for the Rockies third baseman. I know it's not 69, but nice. And he's got an opt-out after 3 years. He ain't going anywhere. You pay off your mortgage when you do that? His house can't be that much, right?
Pay off everything.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you already should have paid it off, right? He's already made that kind of money, right? All right.
Write a check for my house. Yeah, I'll take that.
Cash.
Right.
Do they have to upgrade now?
Here's a briefcase.
Right. Yeah. There's an Al Harrington story out there. We haven't gotten to that. It's a great story. We'll see if we get to that later this week.
Wait, Al Harrington?
Yeah.
Like Al Harrington's wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man?
The basketball player? Is that the same guy?
The family guy. You know the waving tube guys at all the car dealerships
okay,
and stuff?
Right.
The joke on Family Guy is there's a whole warehouse of them. It's Al Harrington's warehouse of inflatable arm flailing tube men.
Right.
So it's funny that there's actual an Al Harrington.
You'd be interested to know what Al Harrington is a mogul of.
I would be.
Yes, you would be, right? Let's just say you can't do it here in Louisiana. At least not, you know, legally.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down, Dave.
We'll be back after this. Chris Gordy on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right. Let's play everybody's favorite game. Where in the world is Chris Gordy? From Lexington to $1,000 two-bedroom condos overlooking the Atlantic Ocean in Palm Beach. It is Chris Gordy on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Good morning, Chris. Where are you today?
What's up, Dave? Yeah, I'm just in boring Houston today.
Just in Houston.
So, yeah.
Okay. Did you see, making sure you, I don't know what your grades were in high school, but North Carolina is thinking about changing the grading system in high school. Did you see that?
I did not, but I was always for the college grading rule of the 10-point scale, because there was nothing worse than getting like a 92.5 in elementary school. Like, yeah, it's still a B. Like, no, go to hell. That's an A.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, that's an A. But and now they want to loosen the reins in North Carolina. 85 to 100 is an A. 70 to 85 is a B.
No.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they're doing. Yeah, yeah. You could get a 42 and pass.
that's ridiculous. That's just the dumbing down of America. That's just our kids are getting dumber, so we need to lower the standard scale.
Yeah, you definitely know the person who wrote the bill has a kid who's got like an 87 and just can't get an A.
Did you hear the I heard the stat the other day that our kids, like the millennials, attention span is that of 8 seconds. And the Gen Xer or whoever, the generation after them, like the younger kids, like high school kids right now, their attention span is 6 seconds or less right now. That's insane.
6 seconds?
Yeah, like, because we live in the day and age of like Snapchat, Instagram,
right.
Facebook story. Like,
it's
click and move on, click and move on, click and move on. So we've already lost all the kids 17 and under at this interview.
Well, that's going to be a problem. I'm just spitballing here, Gordy. To repopulate the country, that's going to be a problem if the, you know, attention span is 6 seconds.
Well, that is true.
Just spitballing, right? Just throwing it out there. All right, what do you make what's going on in New Orleans with the Pelicans? I mean, it is, I don't know if I've ever seen such a thing in any sport anywhere.
It's a mess. I mean, it's stupid. I mean, they need to put their foot down and tell the NBA, we're not playing Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis needs to wake up and realize this isn't good for him. This isn't good for his career. He's going to look back on it and is, you know, it's messing with your season numbers. I know a lot of NBA guys, they don't act like it, but they do care about their numbers. When they go back and look at their career and all-time scoring record and what you average per season, and Anthony Davis is killing his season averages with playing just 20 minutes a game, and there's no point in him being out there. Like, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to win games? Are you trying to make the playoffs? Well, that's kind of out of the picture right now. I just don't understand what the goal is here. The goal is just to, well, I signed a contract and I got to live up to what? Stupid, because you've already announced your intentions not to be here. So why are we going through this song and dance? It's silly.
I think you could go in the other direction. Again, what is that? You know, eventually you get to the rate where there's not enough return or it doesn't hurt you when the further you go, something along those lines. I just don't understand what the big deal is if he's playing, well, in this case, only 21 minutes. But if he was playing 32 minutes or something along those lines, I'm playing. You know what, Anthony, you're on the team. You're playing 40 to 45 minutes, brother. We'll see how long he lasts doing that. He would be out of there quickly. He'd be back in Chicago before the end of the weekend.
Yeah, no, and I get that too, but then again,
you risk
the injury, and obviously him keeping him healthy is above all the most important thing. So, yeah, I get that, but I mean, the other side of it too is this crap about competitive balance. Like, Deadspin put up an article saying, you know, it's an absolute joke that the Pelicans are resting Anthony Davis. This was on Saturday when they were playing the Lakers, because it's like, well, the Lakers are clawing for a playoff spot, so by resting him, they're saying, oh, okay, we're just giving up this win to the Lakers. And lo and behold, look at the young guys. The scrappy young guys play hard. And I'd almost argue you're getting more competitive and a better, better bang for your buck watching these young guys play hard at 100% than watching Anthony Davis play at 50% and not really caring. And we saw that the other night against Philly. When Anthony Davis left the game with 5 minutes left in the third quarter, the Pelicans were down 17. They came back and lost on a game, you know, what would have been a game-winning bucket because the young guys play hard. So,
right.
In my mind, give me the young guys playing hard than Anthony Davis just not giving a crap.
Absolutely. They play hard. They're fun to watch. They play defense, and they tend to lose, although they have won a couple of ball games that you would not think
they would have done so. We're talking to Chris Gordy from Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Game day coming your way. Now you're going to start talking Houston Cougars, aren't you? No, that's not
maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's like they're a lot like the other teams, like Gonzaga and Nevada, like teams that are just running through their conferences this year that really have no, like, aren't being tested at all. That's basically what you're getting with Houston this year. I mean, they're just running roughshod over the American, and outside of Cincinnati, there's really been nobody that could go toe-to-toe with them. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's exciting. It'll be fun to see all the eyes on Houston basketball. And Kellen Sands has done a fantastic job, but I'm curious to see, once they get into the tournament, who they get matched up with. And, you know, they're saying they're probably going to be a three seed, but, man, oh, man, it would really stink for them to end up in, like, Duke's bracket or something like that.
Right, that's what I'm trying to get. What do you think? That's exactly what I'm trying to avoid with LSU. Not a four seed and not a Duke's bracket. Anyway, you know, bring on Virginia, because I think they can hang on. They can hang with Virginia, and it'll be interesting to see, like, a Carolina who wants to get up and down the court, because I think LSU can keep up.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, if you're LSU, you want to keep that foot on the gas pedal. And I don't know. Here's the thing that kind of sucks about the whole thing is that they keep putting Kentucky in as possibly a one seed and Tennessee in as a two seed. I'm just sitting there going, wait a minute, outside of the loss to Florida, LSU's done nothing but run the table just like Kentucky and Tennessee, and yeah, beaten both those teams. So it's amazing to me how LSU's just getting so little respect in terms of being among the top 10 teams, because we saw this past week they beat number 5 Tennessee and they don't even move up in the standings.
Right. Forrest Whitley, part of the Astros rotation this year?
He will be at some point. He won't be to start the year. He needs to get some innings under his belt. The interesting thing is he threw 50 innings last year because he got suspended with the doping allegations. So if he wants to be pitching for this team come September, they're really going to have to manage his workload. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's in AA or AAA getting one start a week.
All right. Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790. I appreciate it, my friend.
All right, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right. Also 1280 in New Orleans, by the way. Martin Traynor, PGA winner, up next. 1037, The Game. Still got a bone to pick. If Taylor Swift can show up at an engagement, Christopher Cross could have shown up at a wedding. I'm disappointed. Severely. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. First-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's buying the next round of drinks. It's Martin Traynor. Good morning, Martin. How are you? Congratulations.
Thank you, Schultz. Happy to be on. Love me some Yacht Rock.
Yeah, no, there you go. I love it. All right, first of all, were you a good student in high school? You were born in France. You go to high school here?
I did. I grew up in California, and I was an okay student. Not great.
Right. Well, they're loosening up.
Okay, all I need to do now is addition when I'm on the golf course.
Well,
so I really don't need anything that I learned.
That's right. Actually, in golf, it's a lot of subtraction. So in North Carolina, they're making 85 through 100A and 70 through 85B.
I don't know what those numbers mean. Oh. Letters, whatever it is you said, I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, okay.
You know,
all right. Well, you know,
I'm a golfer now, so my IQ went down by like 30 points.
It used to be 90 to 100 was an A, and 80 to 89 was a B. But they are loosening the grip. You could get a 42 and still pass. That's
exactly. 90. Well, you know, I grew up in California. I actually went to a high school that had a lot of good students.
Sure.
And so, needless to say, I was near the bottom of the pack.
Right. But you were – okay. All right, let's move on. All right, so tell us how did – you were struggling, right? Because I was following you. I was wanting to give you a pep talk, but you were struggling making some cuts. What was the thought going into the tournament in Puerto Rico?
I just tried to, you know, stick with my game plan of kind of trying to, keep doing what I was doing. And I mean, this is kind of how golf is, right? You know, you go out there and you play the best you can, and sometimes you miss the cut, and sometimes, you know, you kind of pull it off. I mean, you know, obviously Puerto Rico, I ended up having a great week and winning the tournament, which is just still something I really can't believe. But, you know, I mean, it's just an experience I'll never forget. And, you know, it all started with me just sticking to my game plan.
Did you ever get nervous on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
nice.
It's one of those things, you know, you when you watch golf, you see all the top guys on tour, and, you know, you watch them doing fist pumps and trying to win tournaments and all that good stuff, and it's all exciting. But there's sort of this subset of guys that are out there just grinding and trying to keep their card and trying to make the tour, you know? And, you know, so it's one of those things where, you know, I'm one of those guys being a rookie. I'm just trying to be out there. I'm getting into, you know, half the tournaments, and I'm going to Monday qualifiers to try to get in some of the bigger ones. And, you know, it's kind of like a whole different deal out there for the guys just starting out. And, you know, people, I think, don't realize how tough it can be. And, you know, so for a guy like myself who just came on to get the win, I mean, it's just pretty unreal.
Martin was in the Chitimacha Louisiana Open last year, and now he's a winner on the PGA Tour this season. How much did you go back to, I won on the web.com tour last year. Let me think about those thoughts and calm down as I come down to the end here in Puerto Rico on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I mean, playing on the web.com tour and obviously playing the Chitimacha last year, you know, those are the kinds of experiences that really prepped me to play on the PGA Tour. You know, there's a lot of similarities, and the web.com tour is obviously super competitive. And, you know, it's kind of the best route to prepare you for the PGA Tour. And, you know, the Puerto Rico Open, obviously, you know, it's a PGA Tour event, and, you know, it feels a little bit different out there. But at the same time, when you're out there, it's just golf. And so, you know, no matter where you're playing, you're just trying to push away all the distractions from, you know, thinking about, hey, this is a PGA Tour event. And, you know, coming down the stretch, obviously, it was insanely stressful. I couldn't stop thinking about, you know, like, holy bleep,
right,
I'm leaving a tour event right now. But, you know, those are things you kind of have to push away to be able to perform.
I mean, are your swing thoughts, because I would be like, you know, it'd be like a manager going out to the pitcher, don't walk this guy. My swing thoughts would be, don't put it in the water. And, of course, it's going to go in the water when you think that. How are you
right,
keeping the positive
exactly,
swing thoughts to not throw it away?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to dig down and sort of force yourself to hit the ball. I mean, it's funny, when you're in that state of anxiety, that sort of fight or flight, you don't really think about anything else. You know, it's purely sort of relying on, you know, your training and all the practice I've been doing for so many years. And so when I was, you know, I had a couple shot lead on, you know, the last couple holes, and, you know, I was just trying to make contact. Like, of course, the idea of me shanking it came
right,
into my head. You know,
of course right,
the idea of me blowing it in an epic way that would be remembered forever, of course that came into my head. But,
right,
you know, when you're over the ball, that's the time to sort of push that away and concentrate and try to come through.
All right, you seem to be the type of guy who's going to take the 4x8 check that's given to you for pictures and on TV into the bank. Please tell me you did that and signed it and see if they would deposit it.
Oh, man. That would be a great bit, wouldn't it? Just if I showed up at the bank with a massive check.
Get web.com
to
work, Kevin, to go in there with you.
I'd be pretty confused.
Right. Kevin would videotape it for you.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right,
yeah,
so
I mean,
how has your life changed? How has your life changed in the last 3 days?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, I never really thought about what winning a tour event would be like. And
right,
I think, you know, there's the initial sort of celebration of winning the tournament and you just can't believe it and you're so happy. But it starts to sink in. I think the biggest thing is, you know, the relief of having job security in a profession where job security is almost impossible to come by. You know,
right,
on the PGA Tour, you have to prove yourself every single year. Every year you're out there, you have to play well. You have to make a lot of cuts, have some top 10 finishes. And, you know, at the end of the year, you hope that it was enough to keep your card. And, you know, sometimes one stroke can make the difference. And so now that I've won, you know, all of that sort of melts away and I'm able to just sort of enjoy the experience and not worry too much about one stroke here and there, because I know I'm locked in the next couple of years.
Are you playing in this weekend's Honda?
I am, yeah.
Now, were you scheduled to do that before you won?
I was not. I was first alternate in this field in Honda, and it didn't look like I was going to get in. And, you know, turns out winning helps a lot of things.
Sure, sure. Did you upgrade hotels because of that?
you know, old habits die hard, my friend.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
That's something else I'm going to have to get used to. You know, I'm going to have to rethink some of my, you know, mini tour lifestyle decisions and start thinking about, you know, pretending I'm a tour pro.
Well, don't give up those points. I know you got a lot of, you picked one, whatever hotel, whatever chain you're part of, right, you still keep on going there. Don't change to give up the points. You know, that's where all that free stuff comes in eventually.
Right.
All right, do you know who you're playing with yet? Who's the tee times? Like, are you, Tiger's not in the tour, not in the field this week. Do you know who you're playing with yet?
Yeah, I'm going to be paired up with Jonas Blixt and Russell Henley.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's another thing that's going to be weird is you know, up until this point, I've been playing with all the rookies. And you know, these are all guys that I came up with on the Web.com tour. And, you know, when you make a cut on the weekend, you might get paired up with, you know, one of the big boys. A few weeks ago at Pebble Beach, I got paired up with Jordan Spieth.
Wow.
And that was just an incredible experience to be out there on Sunday with him and, you know, the crowds. And, I mean, it was just so surreal, you know. Everything up until that point was just me teeing off on number 10, you know, last tee time, no fans, you know, that sort of thing. The rookie tee times. And to be in that experience with Spieth on Sunday at Pebble, you know, that was like the real tour, like what you would see on TV, that kind of thing. And so that was pretty incredible. And I think part of that, you know, experience helped me as I was coming down the stretch on Sunday. You know, it was something that I'd experienced at least once and be able to hold it together at the end.
Was that his 10-over day, by the way?
No. That was he did that the next week at Riviera in LA.
I
played with him at Pebble, and he had an okay day.
What was that experience like? I mean, is that the first time, like you said, you were in another situation? What was it like with the crowds and stuff like that?
I mean, it was crazy ever since the get-go, you know, ever since the first hole, you know, there's just crowds down both fairways and everyone's yelling at Jordan and, you know, there's all this stuff going on. I mean, it's pretty crazy what these guys have to deal with. I heard actually one guy tell me that playing with one of the top guys or being in the group with one of the top guys, it's like a one or two shot disadvantage. Because it's just so hard to perform in the first place, and then to have, you know, all of these fans and these crowds and people are yelling at you, and you know they're like sometimes a few feet away when you hit it offline and you're in the trees, you know, they'll make like a sort of like the tunnel. I don't know if you've seen the tunnel that they make when you're trying to punch out to the fairway.
Right,
fans left and right. I mean, it's just intimidating, and it's sort of a whole nother level. I think the top guys at least, they might be a little more used to it. But me as like a rookie, you know, third cut made on tour, and I'm in this situation, I'm like, what is going on?
Martin Trainer, just winner of the Puerto Rico Open. All right, on Twitter, you got a little snapshot there of Steph Curry. Perks has not hooked me up with him so far. But what's the chance? Are you going to get a selfie of Jack Nicklaus? Are you going to try for that? Or do you got to act all cool now since you've won?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I need to pretend I'm cool and pretend I'm on the PGA Tour. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know who the next celebrity picture is going to be. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe Tiger if I see him at Bay Hill next week.
And you're in Bay Hill now. That's an invitation. That's different.
Yeah.
Look at you. I got to ask.
The Players Championship.
Right.
It's going to be sweet.
Cody, make sure you record this because he's never coming on again. Wait till he wins a Masters. Wait till he wins a Majors. Schultz who? Dave where? Louisiana where? Yeah.
please.
Have you purchased anything yet in your mind? I can't imagine you've purchased anything outside of a plane ticket and a hotel room to go to Palm Beach or Jupiter, as it case.
I blew all my money on hookers and cocaine.
And we have our promo for the day. Thank you so much.
No, I haven't purchased anything. I don't even know what to do at this point. I mean, I guess I'll finally be able to afford San Francisco real estate.
Oh, there you go. Right. All right. Very cool. Martin, congratulations. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving us our promo. Maybe for the rest of the year. All right. That's going to work out very well. Best of luck. And we'll be back in touch with this sometime this year. Keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Chelsea.
All right. Cody's lost it, by the way. We did not see that one coming. Well, that's got to be a line from a movie, right?
It's from that. No, it's from, remember when the mega million bajillion lottery thing got up to $69 billion
right,
you could win?
Right.
There was a guy that a news station somewhere, I forget what it was,
right,
went to a gas station or somewhere.
Oh, okay.
And there was like a frenzy in this place of people filling out lottery tickets and things. And she found this one guy, and she knew what she was doing.
Sure.
Like, she went to this guy, like, okay, let's see. Sir, if you win all the money, blah, 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 what are you going to... And he looked
dead. Was this on live on TV?
Yes, looked live in the camera and said exactly what Martin Tranter said. That's so good. Oh, I have a new favorite golfer, Dave. and you he said it under his breath. Too,
not really. No, he didn't.
But he tried to, but he was just like, yeah, hookers are okay. But yeah, it's really
not
funny.
Really. No.
Oh, good guy.
The thing is, he hasn't had a chance, right? He played in Puerto Rico. He's playing in Jupiter, and he's playing in Bay Hill. There's no time to buy anything.
I mean,
he's not buying a car.
He's buying what he says he's buying. You can get that in Puerto Rico.
Or in Florida. You can buy that anywhere. That's true.
I'm in search of a Florida man, please.
That's not going to be good if we see. If I tweet at you a Florida man and it's Martin Traynor.
Bad.
Hey, Martin, don't make contact with Robert Kraft. Just a pro tip, all right? Oh, God. I did not see that one coming. you just never know what's going to happen here on a sports chat. We'll be back after this. 103.7, the game.
Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
Yes, hello? Is this Dave Schultz? Yes, this is TMZ. Pro golfer. Martin Traynor has blown $540,000.
The crazy thing is, TMZ probably already knows he said that. some type of way, TMZ already knows he said it. For a 20-mile zone, they sure cover a very wide area of the country.
What's that? For a 20-mile zone?
That's what TMZ stands for. 20-mile zone.
Oh.
Now, anytime you see a video that they have shot themselves, not one that they've acquired from somewhere, but that video was shot from their offices within a 20-mile zone.
Right.
Because they're in where all of the stars are.
Yeah, so if they got Lebatard, which they got Dan Lebatard the other day, because Lebatard's in...
Right. The airport also is within that 20-mile zone.
Right. It's not in the two-hour. Although I just did not run into a lot of traffic. Right? Wasn't going 55, 60 all the time, but it wasn't like we're
only
stopped.
Only been to LA once, and I got the traffic experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, going to the airport, it was slow, but we never stopped.
I wasn't going to the airport. I was on the road that gets you to the
beach.
that highway that runs along the water.
Pacific Coast
Highway.
Yeah.
I was on the interstate that goes towards that, which I don't have specifics, but
towards that. Well, it could be I-10.
And I actually, not just that, I think it was because I was like, hey, is this the same I-10? And my brother looked at me and was like, yes, there is not more than one Interstate 10 in the country.
I've been on the entire I-10.
You can take that from Florida to California?
Jacksonville to Santa Monica. Yeah. The whole way.
See, there's a comedian that tells a joke that how Batman has so much money, Bruce Wayne. Batman's money's long, he says.
Right.
It's long like I-10.
Right.
And now I get the joke.
There
Batman
you go.
Money is real long.
All the way across.
That's impressive. Is there another interstate that does it?
I mean, 95.
Well,
right?
And then there's Route 66. Is that what
that's
it does?
Gone. Yeah, that's back in the day.
Okay.
But like 95, right, goes from Maine to Miami.
Okay, so it's a coastal one, but essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
And you could do Route 1 is the same thing.
Is that coastal or is that?
Same. Route 1 goes through the towns. 95 is the interstate.
So it's like 190 and 10 here, just here.
It'd be like a 49.
Yeah, because I can get to my house by taking 10 or 190, and it takes about the same amount of time, but traffic is.
Well, yeah, I guess so a little bit. Like Route 1 is more like a Ambassador type of deal.
Oh, so like going through lights town. And yeah. Gotcha.
Much more than a 190.
190 is more highway than
more
anything
highway.
Else.
Yeah. All right, let's check out the poll questions. Would you spend all $540,000 on hookers and cocaine? That's not one of the poll questions, but should be. Based on MLB and the Atlantic League agreement, do you like experimenting with the new rules? Basically 50-50, 46-46. Only 8% telling me to shut up. We noticed this yesterday after the ballgame. Danny Broussard's STM Cougars defeated Thomas Jefferson 68-42. They'll take on David Thibodeau. I'm now told it's at 7 o'clock, 6:45 pregame show. Who has more hair gel? The Rams head coach Sean McVay or the Cougars head coach Danny Broussard? 50% Danny Broussard, 36%, which may be an all-time high. Shut up, Dave. The STM people like me picking on them, and some people don't. Broussard got the Broussard army out there to say shut up. All right. Thanks to Rope. Thanks to Chris Blair. Thanks to Brian Vandermeer. Thanks to Chris Gordy. Thanks to Martin Trainer. Coming up next, it is the Rap Game with RP3, then the Jim Rome Show, the Jordy Holtberg Show featuring Jordy Holtberg. 2 p.m., got that right. Bumper to Bumper Sports, 4 to 6, Five Guys Stories and Lies, 6 to 8, and then the Will Wait Show, 8 to 9 p.m. All right, keep it live and local all day long here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7. The Game!